Good morning, good day, good afternoon, depending on when you're listening to one of our first broadcasts from Cliffdekker Hofmeyr. I have with me my colleagues, Toby, Kayleen, and Anli, and we are going to be talking about something that has become a bane in most people's lives given the lockdown: business rescue and retrenchments. When, how, and what are the ramifications? The worst thing that can happen after the lockdown is to suddenly realize that whatever you had undertaken during the lockdown was legally incorrect, and you're once again exposed financially, both from a business rescue perspective and an employment perspectives. My colleagues and I will provide you with a high-level overview of the law and the implications from a business rescue and employment perspective. And should you need any detailed information, please feel free to contact us. With that riveting introduction, I now hand you over to my colleague and the head of our business rescue department, Toby. Thank you.
Thanks, Ariel. So, Ariel, we're often asked by our clients to advise whether business rescue or liquidation would be more suitable to them. And the starting point is to determine the level of financial distress. Business rescue proceedings are not for the terminally ill, nor are they for the chronically ill. It's designed for ailing companies, which given time will be rescued and become solvent. So therefore, at the first signs of financial distress, a company should file for business rescue. If you are more than financially distressed, the alternative option of a liquidation would become more attractive for ailing companies. One must always remember that business rescue is not a kick and pray exercise in the hope that something better will emerge during the rescue process. Kayleen, why don't you tell us about the status of contracts of employment under each of business rescue or liquidation?
Toby, so I'll start off with business rescue. In terms of section 136, subsection 1 of the Companies Act, during business rescue, employees who were employed before the commencement of business rescue proceedings continue to be employed on the same terms and conditions. And the section continues to say that any retrenchments in terms of any business rescue plan must be conducted in terms of section 189 or 189A of the Labour Relations Act and other applicable employment-related legislation. So ultimately, in business rescue, there is continued employment of some or all of the employees, and their contracts are not automatically suspended. However, the situation is different in a liquidation scenario. When a company is liquidated, the contracts of employment are suspended with immediate effect. And during this period of suspension, the employees are not obliged to render any services to the company and are also not entitled to receive their salaries or wages, nor any employment benefits. And any contracts that are not suspended are automatically terminated after 45 days. I'm now going to hand over to Anli. Can you please explain, you know, how you go about retrenching and what process an employer should follow?
So I think it's important to remember, and we'll discuss this in detail when we get to the SAA judgment in a bit, that employers retain the right to follow a retrenchment process should they face financial difficulties. So a retrenchment process is governed in terms of Section 189 of the Labour Relations Act, and requires employers and employees to enter into a joint consensus-seeking process that doesn't require an agreement to be secured, but only for the parties to consult on various prescribed topics. What this means is that the employer must really afford its employees an opportunity to consider and discuss the various operational requirements and also give them an opportunity to make representations which they'll meaningfully consider before they make final decisions about the termination of employment. What's important to remember in the times that we find ourselves in is that consultation and meaningful consultation usually required all parties sitting around a table in order to discuss the various topics. Bearing in mind the COVID-19 pandemic, this isn't necessarily possible, and employers would need to be creative as to how it will consult with its employees. Your starting point will be determining whether or not you have a trade union with who you need to consult, or alternatively looking at what infrastructure you have in place based on your staff complement and your level of skills. If it's a corporate entity, by all means, you can consider consulting via Zoom or Teams or a similar infrastructure. However, you need to ensure that you have proper connectivity and that employees really do have an opportunity to provide input. If you're not comfortable with those processes, it may be necessary to select a group of employees who can consult with you meaningfully and for who you can arrange transport to your premises in order to consult in person on behalf of various employees. If you follow that approach, you may consider asking your employees to elect representatives in order for this process to continue. The CCMA for large-scale retrenchments provide you with facilitators, and they'll continue to do so, bearing in mind that some of these facilitations will need to happen online, or alternatively, external facilitators may be appointed for large-scale retrenchments. The point at which you need to start consulting is also quite important, and it says that you must start consulting when you contemplate retrenchments. This is before the point of you having made a decision regarding terminations, and really is the point at which an employee can still change the employer's mind about the next steps. And that brings us to the judgment, or the recent judgment of SAA. And Colleen, I just want you to take us through those facts and the implications that that had on contemplation.
Sure, Annie. So before I get stuck into the facts, I'll say at the outset that it has always been within the employer's discretion as to whether a retrenchment is being contemplated. And now this position has changed. I think everybody knows that on the 5th of December of last year, South African Airways entered into voluntary business rescue. On the 7th of May 2020, the Labour Court in Johannesburg handed down a judgment wherein NUMSA sought an order declaring SAA's notice in terms of Section 189 of the LRA unlawful and invalid on the basis that it contravened Section 136 of the Companies Act, which I discussed earlier. In summary, Judge Fanny Kerk had to consider whether it is procedurally unfair in terms of Section 189A, subsection 13 of the LRA, for a business rescue practitioner to issue an invitation to consult in terms of Section 189 of the LRA prior to the adoption of a business rescue plan. It was not in dispute amongst the parties that a business rescue plan had not been adopted on the date that the Section 189 notice was issued. The answer to the lies in the interpretation of 136 of the Companies Act. From the outset, the court emphasized the need to interpret Section 136 in light of the constitutional right to security of employment. And if there's an interpretation to Section 136 that better promotes the preservation of work security, that interpretation ought to be preferred. The court found that due to the wording of Section 136, unless an event that qualifies as a change of terms and conditions of employment, either by way of natural attrition or by the employee's consent, there's complete protection of employees during business rescue proceedings. This means that termination of employment in a business rescue context can take place by agreement by means of voluntary retrenchment packages, or failing an agreement being reached then as contemplated in the business rescue plan. The court therefore concluded that Section 136(1)(b) of the Companies Act establishes a precondition for the commencement of any retrenchment process during business rescue proceedings. The need to retrench must necessarily be rooted in the business rescue plan itself. And the business rescue practitioner is not empowered to retrench employees in the absence of a business rescue plan. As a business rescue plan had not been adopted on the date that the Section 189 notice was issued, the court granted the order sought by NUMSA. So I'm going to hand over to Toby. Toby, can you take us through what this means from a business rescue perspective going forward?
So, Kylene, what we currently have is a judgment stating that you cannot retrench before a plan has been adopted. And this means that the practitioner would have to continue paying salaries. But in many cases, it will be financially impossible for a company to continue to do so until a plan is published and approved, especially in a complex business rescue where it may take a longer time to prepare a suitable plan. So having to wait for a plan to be approved before carrying out retrenchments may render many business rescues unlikely to succeed. The judgment has been taken on appeal, but if not overturned, it could have a detrimental effect on the objectives of business rescue, being inter alia to return a company to solvency. So ultimately, it may also lead to greater job losses as a result of the delay in effecting retrenchments and the impact on the business's cash flow. Going forward, some businesses may decide to immediately liquidate rather than to go into business rescue, because having to wait to retrench employees until the approval of a plan will have major cost implications, especially for a company that's already in dire financial distress. But Adil, what effect would that have from an employment perspective?
We want to end by saying the following. What is of most importance from this judgment, at least from an employment perspective, is that it clears up a fundamental issue. Can I issue a VSP, a voluntary severance package, before issuing a Section 189 brackets 3 notice? There has been much debate as to whether that must be issued as part, that must be dealt with as part of the 189 process. Judge Van Niekerk has finally cleared this up and provided us with an out. You can issue a 189-3 note, a voluntary severance offer before a 189. And therefore, as opposed to waiting for the business rescue plan to be adopted and then retrenching, this may prove to be our saving grace to allow the business rescue practitioner to offer 189, to offer a voluntary severance package before embarking on a formal retrenchment. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish to thank all my colleagues. And should you have any inquiries regarding this turbulent time in our history and in the world, please feel free to contact us. Be safe, be healthy, and love your families. Thank you. End.